You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And welcome back to another Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the Arby's across the street from Ben Davis High School. I'm Von Jordan, and Jeff Robinson, not here quite yet.
He's on his way.
He's on his way. But joining me right now is John Easter. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
And, of course, head coach Mike Kirschman. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Eating my usual Tuesday order of curly fries at Arby's on West 10th Street, which is, come out and join us. Come, you got a question for us, tweet us.
Ask Kirschner,
tweet it out. I'll do my best to answer everything I can. Anything's on the table. We'll see where we go from there. What can I do for you tonight, Mr. Durden?
Well, as many have heard, some may have not if they weren't paying attention or they were paying attention to college, the Giants did lose their second game of the year. Not as close as the Warren Central loss, a 37-14 loss to the Carmel Greyhounds. I wanted to go ahead and open the floor first and let you talk about your opinion on the game overall.
Well, it was, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We got our butts beat up front, both sides of the ball. We thought we were focused in. I thought our warm-up was pretty good. And, you know, we lost the toss. Carmel deferred, so we received. And Carmel kicked off and pinned us deep. We were throwing into a pretty good wind, a lot of rain. It was really a pretty nasty night, considering all the nights we've had up to this point were pretty nice. You know, they gave them a short field. Defense, I thought, did a good job on the opening series, holding them to a field goal. We came out, didn't go anywhere on our second possession. Punted, had a penalty, lined up to punt again. We fumbled the punt, snap, give them a short field again. But our defense did a great job, held them to a field goal attempt. They missed it. And I'll be honest with you, at that point, we're about midway through the first quarter, and it's 3-0, and I felt like we dodged a bullet. Our offense comes out, hits a big pass to Story Emerson, gets the ball out across midfield, and then we kind of sputtered out. And then from there, I'll be honest, from that point on, our defense was on their heels. Carmel was pretty much having their way with us up front. I was really disappointed with I don't know that our kids didn't try or lack of effort. We just weren't making the plays we normally make. And, you know, they got up 17-0 at half on us. I felt like we left a score. We got down inside the red zone in the second quarter that I felt would have been huge to go up. You know, if we can go in the halftime only down 17-7, I thought we made a great goal line stand to end the first half. Defense never quit. But we go into the halftime 17-0. We start second half, and they come out and run jet sweep, which has kind of been an Achilles heel for us. That's what Warren got us on, set up a big play. That tied the game 21 all at the Warren Central game. Same type of play, different formation. They run a little differently against Carmel. And first play of the second half, they go, I don't know, 70 yards for a touchdown. But, you know, sometimes you lose sight of what happened there. We actually sky kicked to start the second half, and the ball hits the ground. And it's something we'd practiced all week. We don't normally sky kick. We normally kick deep. We thought we could catch them. And the ball hit the ground, and our kids stopped. And we've been telling them all week, when it hits the ground, it's our ball. We stopped and let them catch it, which instead of our being the ball at the 30 and kind of changing momentum, they come out and run one play and score. Now it's 23-0. Everybody's like, well, you know, but here again, we drive right back down in the red zone. And you say, well, you're down 23. All right, if you score the one before half, that's 17-7. You give them that touchdown, that's 23-7. Our next possession in the red zone is 23-20 or 23-14. They come out, put another drive. All right, 30-14. You say you're still not in. Our next possession takes us right back to the red zone, and we drop another touchdown pass. That's 30-21. Then our next two possessions, we score. And so we didn't quite finish things the way we're used to on offense. And defensively, we were just out of sync. We've been working real hard the last 2 days of practice to try to clean some things up.
Coach, when you look at this Ben Davis defense, obviously coming into the season, it was one of the major question marks. I don't think the offense had the kinds of question marks that folks were thinking defensively with this team. How has it progressed? Has it progressed? How do you make it progress?
Well, it's as you can tell again Friday, we're just kind of up and down. We're a work in progress. I mean, if, for instance, you take Center Grove, who is a rushing team, and we beat them, and they're really good. What was it? 2 weeks ago, I think they rushed for 550 yards in a game against a MIC opponent, which is phenomenal. So they're really, and we did a really good job stopping them from running the ball. A week ago, we play Lawrence North, who's a really good rushing team. You know, they had 395 yards rushing on Carmel, and we hold them to 195 yards total offense. And so, but then you sandwich that between Warren and Carmel, where we don't stop the run. And so we're just kind of hitting and missing. We've got some kids that need to kind of step up. If they don't step up, then you know, I'm not going to, if Lawrence is listening, fine. There's going to be some different guys on the field on Friday. There just has to be. We gotta find guys who are willing to step up and make plays when the game's on the line. And we've struggled that in the two games we've lost. So we're okay. You know, we're a little banged up. We need to get healthy. You know, we're out of the MIC running. The MIC championship will be between Warren and Carmel. We finish out, you know, winning the last two. If we're fortunate enough, you'll still finish in the, you know, third. You know, which in the MIC, I don't care what anybody says. Anytime you're in the top four, you've had a pretty decent year. I know that's not where the average fan wants you to be, but we've won the last two MICs, and we just got to get better on defense. Offense, you know, was off a little bit. They can't have off nights. You know, when your defense isn't as good, and your offense is kind of, you know, our offense averages 450 yards offense a game through seven games. We're averaging almost 40 points a game through seven games. You know, we've broken every passing record that Ben Davis has. There's nothing left to break that I'm aware of. And everybody says, well, the weather was bad. That's an excuse. You know, I get tired of that. I get tired of my ankle hurts. That's an excuse. My elbow hurts. That's an excuse. Heck, my head hurt in that game, but I kept coaching, you know. So, you know, I don't look for excuses. We just got to find a better way. That's our job as coaches.
Whenever I talked to Coach Kevin Wright after the game, he did cite the weather playing a factor in terms of their offense being better built to sustain against that kind of weather versus yours being built more as a passing attack and really being hampered by the winds and the rain the other night. What goes into a coach's selection for the type of offense to run?
Hi, Jeff.
By the way, Jeff got here. Yeah. You couldn't tell Jeff's on the radio now. Here we go.
We got a show.
That's, yeah. All right. That's a good question, and I'll be honest with you. We went into it on the opening possession thinking if we could run the ball and get a couple first downs and play the field position, because that's why Carmel elected to defer, kick, and kick the way they did, hoping to play. And we do that to people, too, and it worked. Now, again, that's we got to execute. They gave us the situation. We've got to turn around and execute it. So we felt like, and Coach Ferris said, he just felt like he didn't want to put us in a bad position. So maybe a little more conservative on our play calling than we normally would have been. Instead of just saying, look, this is the hand we're dealt. We're used to throwing the ball. Throw it anyway. You know, because we've thrown for, I don't know, 2,100 yards in seven games. We're averaging 300 yards a game, which is, I don't know of anybody around here, but maybe Southport that's doing that. And we just, you know, we can't think in terms of sit back, let's kind of milk it. That's not our style. And if the weather's bad, live with it. Catch the ball. And, you know, I heard, well, the ball's wet. You know, coaches say, well, the ball's wet or their hands are cold. I don't care. You know, one of our guys came off the field one time and it wasn't a receiver. And I said, what's the problem? He goes, my hand's cold. I said, what are you talking about? I said, that we can never play in November. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, because it's going to be really cold in November. So we're going to be done here in a few weeks because I can't have you play in November. And he's like, wow, I hadn't thought about that. So, You know, I get tired of the excuses, the bumps, the bruises, the I can't do this, can't do that. Then the kids know me. They know how I am. I don't tolerate it very well.
Well, again, you kind of hit on this in my opening question, and that was the red zone situation. Countless times you got into the red zone, countless times a lot of fans, I know as a Giant fan, I was kind of seeing these moments come to life. You guys get down the field, it seems like a successful drive, and then once you get into the red zone, everything just falls apart. Why was this continuing to happen, especially when you looked so good, everything seemed to be working out? Why was there nothing in the red zone?
Well, good question. We just didn't make plays. You know, we had two different receivers drop touchdown passes. We didn't run the right route one time. You know, a couple times we had bad snaps. Snaps were keeping us out of sync. I think we counted 9 snaps that screwed plays up because it's all predicated. You know, and if people don't realize, well, he still caught the snap. Well, when the snap is not mid-waist level, he momentarily has to take his eyes off whoever he's looking at. And when you take your eyes off, then you're a half a second slow getting the ball out to the proper guy, or you've lost your read on the defense because everything is predicated on Kyle safeties and linebackers and all that. And so when that snap messes you up, it messes him up, which messes up the tempo and the flow of everything you're doing.
Something that really caught my eye was a difference maker, the way the two secondaries were hitting. Carmel was hitting extremely hard, caused a lot of drops for your guys. At the same time, I didn't see the level of hitting, maybe from your secondary, to what we've been accustomed to, say, in the Antonio Allen days.
Yeah, well, there's no Antonio Allen. Like, we just don't have that. You know, we got good kids. They're playing good football. But Antonio Allen was, for lack of a better word, the eraser, meaning if something was out of whack, he'd come up and fix it physically. And we don't quite have that kid. You know, we're playing with a kid that is a good kid. He's a good football player. He's a good high school football player. But Antonio Allen was a national recruit. And so you don't have that kid. And so, you know, you got to find a way. We got to find a way to tackle better, get off blocks better. You know, Carmel's very good at sitting back, playing their zones, and coming up and tackling you and making you pay. But with all that said, we threw for, I don't know, 250 yards, excuse me, something like that. You know, Kyle was still 23 of 40 throwing, you know, in a 30-mile-an-hour wind and driving rain. He's 23 of 40 throwing. I don't know. I still think that's pretty good for the kind of scenario he's being dealt with.
As you look at, I know this is kind of more a second-half question maybe, but as you – What can be applied from the two losses that you've had so far on the year? I know they're both disappointing losses in the fact that it took you out of the running for the first goal, which you always talk about as a mm-hmm. McTitle.
Yep.
But what can be applied, and what are the what do you see from the team? What are they applying from those two losses so far?
Well, I think they're doing a good job, at least so far this week in practice, of focusing on some of the things that we're just deficient at, like getting off blocks, shedding blocks, making a tackle. I thought tonight, I think our kids responded pretty well. We're just, you know, we're coaching like we always coach. You know, somebody said, well, maybe the game's passed you by, Coach. Well, I still think, and I've heard Coach Delahan and other coaches, Coach Shelbourne, say this over the years, it still boils down to blocking and tackling. And you got to do some basic fundamentals well. You know, I'll take you back to the year the Colts won the Super Bowl. And everybody thought they were falling apart. Everybody's rushing. I mean, what was it? Jones-Drew for Jaguars that one day rushed for, what, 300 yards or what, or something like that. And Tony Dungy made the comment, you know, we can change the scheme, we can fire guys, but the bottom line is you got to tackle better. And sometimes it's as simple as just doing the basic things better than you were doing them before.
Well, obviously, as you very well see, the Carmel was a very tough opponent this week. At halftime, you saw that you were down. This was the second year in a row, maybe 3 years in a row. I'm not 100% sure of the year before that. But this has really been the second year in a row where you've been down by quite a half. What was the mindset? What did you talk to those players to try to get them to come back to hopefully what did not happen, what obviously try to come back into this game?
Well, obviously what I said didn't work. Because if it worked, it'd been a little different outcome. You know, we got outscored 20-14 in the second half. So, you know, we get them together. There's no yelling and screaming. You know, the old adage, they probably got in there. And I can remember last year when we were down, what, 24-7 and a half, and everybody came back and we won, and I'd get texts. I can't believe I want to know what you said to them at halftime. I said, keep your heads up and play football. And it was kind of the same thing. You know, we're going to tweak this, tweak that, but you just got to play, you know. All that screaming and hollering, you know, I do a lot of screaming and hollering in practice, but, you know, in the locker room, halftime, game time, it's time for them to play. They're young men, you know, it's on them. You know, they got to execute.
Well, that's going to bring us to the half here. It was, a loss to Carmel, 37-14. When we come back here inside Ben Davis Football, we go out with senior night coming up this week against Lawrence Central. But first, a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at classickings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Welcome back here, live from inside Ben Davis Football. Again, live from RV across the street from Ben Davis. Again, I am Levon Jordan, joined here by Jeff Robinson. How are you again doing?
I'm doing great.
John Easter?
Well, still here. Didn't get up and leave at halftime, so we're all good.
And then Mike Kirshner.
I wanted to leave at halftime.
Well, Carmel is now out of the way. Now we look to this Friday against Lawrence Central, which is senior night here. A lot of seniors, big name seniors that are
like Levon Durden.
Yeah, even me.
Yep.
Big names are going to be heading out of the building. So I wanted to go ahead and not ask about the game as much, but how are the seniors feeling knowing that this could be very well their last time playing at home?
Yeah, depending on the draw. I mean, and the way the draws worked for me in the past, I've had very few home games. In fact, I don't know how many tournament games we've played. We've won a couple sectionals or regionals. There's quite a few in the 7 years, double-digit tournament games. But we've played, I think, three-fourths of them on the road. I'm not very good with draws. I don't go to Vegas because I'll just lose my money. the reality of it, I just haven't been very fortunate with getting a draw. Last year we played one home and one road.
Yep.
You know, we've played Pike in the tournament a number of times, several times at their place and several at ours. We've played it at Brownsburg. We played at Avon. We played at Zionsville. You know, so we've talked to the kids about it being senior night and the part that goes with it, that, you know, cherish the moments because the moments are short. I've got a really good class. I've got a really good senior class in the sense that they're really good kids. They cause me zero problems. I can't say that about my sophomores, but, you know, I probably should have said that. It's probably not politically correct, but they know they drive me nuts. But the seniors, I don't have attendance issues. I don't have discipline issues. They come to practice every day. They're nice kids. The teachers love them. It's going to be a very, very sad class to see go. But we've talked about it being the last game, but it doesn't have to be. It depends on how you approach it. You know, we'll find out the draw here on Sunday and see what our route is from there. But, you know, I'm sure come Friday night they're gonna think about it. When you play football, and I don't care what the high school is, you can play at Cascade, you can play at North Knox, you can play at Ben Davis. When you put in 4 years and all of a sudden you're walking out and it's like, this is really it. It then, and no matter how many times I say it, that, you know, keep playing because it'll end quickly than you can ever imagine. And all of a sudden you're walking out there Friday and you'll hear comments like, wow, I really didn't think this day would ever get here. And like, what are you talking about? I've been telling you for 3 years, you know, and I just always remind them, I don't want to hear, I could have done more, because then that means you cheated yourself and you cheated your team, because you should never walk out your senior year saying, I could have done more. You walk out saying, I gave everything I possibly could, and that's good enough. And if you win, fine. If you don't, fine, because you did what you could within the process. And we've got 47 seniors Friday night. They're going to walk through for their final senior night, and I'm proud of every one of them. And it's an emotional night. I can remember back in 2003, I was an assistant coach under Coach Delahan, and we were getting ready to play Carmel that night. And my son was a senior, and that was my oldest. He's my oldest child. And I've never seen him ball like that. He balled. He stood in that line and balled and balled. I'm thinking, who and how are you ever going to play this game, son? You know, snap, I can't stop. And he just balled, you know, and it dawned on him that that was it, you know, and he's never going to play for the name on the front of that jersey, which is Ben Davis. And that's what you're always kind of getting kids to realize, that this is a very short moment of their life, but also a very special moment.
Last year's game with Lawrence Central really kind of proved to be a turning point for your season. How does this game stack up in terms of where your team is at going into this year's contest?
Yeah, well, we're facing a really good offense. They average 30-some points a game. They got a quarterback that I think is really athletic, gets the ball out of his hand quick, spins it well. They got a tailback who I think runs hard. They got a 6'6 wide receiver, a 6'6 tight end, and another 6'5 tight end, and they get all three of them out there at the same time and play jump ball with you, and, you know, our corner's 5'7, so we've definitely got a mismatch going there. But for us, it's about, you know, taking what we learned from last week with Carmel and getting a little better this week with LC and hopefully taking a step forward, because it's still a process, but the process is getting shorter. Because you got this week, and then you're on the road again against North Central, and then it's the tournament, and the process becomes real short at that point. So, we've got to take a look and see what we can do to get better. We're playing a moved LC team. Last year they finished, I believe, 3-7. You know, they're sitting at 3-4 right now, but they're scoring a lot of points. They got some studs on defense. They got Kirkland. They got Coach Tutsi's boy. They got a couple 300-pounders playing D tackle, which is going to give us problems because we're not that big up front. Secondary is very athletic and very fast. Return game got a great kicker, so we got our hands full. You know, they've played everybody much better this year than they played last year, so it's going to be an interesting battle for us.
Coach, as you look at the big game on Friday night, LC is a team I think that, given the right set of circumstances, can give anybody trouble.
Oh, no question.
How do you get the – I mean, obviously, they've won games that they probably should have won this year when you look at who they've beaten. How do you get the team to understand that despite the fact they're 3, I think, on the air, that they're a really good football team?
They're 3-4. I don't think our kids overlook anybody just because it's the MIC conference. I think, I was talking to Kevin Wright before the game last week. He says, we need to look at our conference. And I said, what do you mean? I said, it is what it is. He goes, if we're truly the SEC of the Midwest of high school football, then we need to take a look at the things and publicity-wise and, he's talking about maybe have your own show or, you know what I'm saying, where it's really because it's a big deal, you know. And I don't think our kids aren't, at least I haven't gotten the feeling out there at practice the last 2 days that they're any different than how we prepared last week. And I know that'll sound funny, but how we prepared for Carmel or Warren or LN, they realize it's the next big game. And I think the emotion's riding a little higher because it is senior night. We've got a big dinner planned for them Thursday night, a big first time ever. Ultimately, I'm just going to tell it. Ultimately, my goal is to eliminate senior night. The Friday night is senior night because it is emotional. Kids don't deal with that emotion. You know, I want them to think about the game. This will be our first ever. We're having a formal suit and tie senior parent dinner Thursday night where we're doing highlight films. All kinds of special things. I'm going to get up and talk about each and every kid and just kind of give them their night with their parents, one-on-one with me, my wife, their mom and dads, and them. You know, no sophomores, no juniors, no other coaches, just us. And just kind of make it a special night from them and then kind of get away from the senior night altogether.
Well, obviously, last week, Carmel, the big loss there, the big offensive rushing game that kind of tore up, you know, your defense, but more so...
Brutal.
More so, how are you preparing your defense this week on the recovery note? Not just that, but players such as Norman Oglesby, who has been dealing with injuries last several weeks, Asmar Bilal, who had an injury a couple weeks ago, and then the rest of the defensive line at that.
Yeah, well, we're trying to refocus them. And like I said in the first half of the show, it goes back to basics. You know, we're trying to get them off blocks and tackle better and do some of the things fundamentally. And like anything else, when you're doing it for the number of weeks we've been doing them, you sometimes forget that some of the things you were doing in August is what made you good in August. But as you start to win, you kind of get away from some of those things. So went back, even with me, with our defensive ends, went back with some basic fundamental drills this week and some stuff I haven't done since June, you know, trying to get them to think about how they're processing it again and go from there.
We also noted in the first half of the show that your team had several drops with the receivers. How do coaches work with players to reduce drops?
Well, it goes back to the basic fundamentals of drills. Coach Whitaker does a great job coaching our wide receivers and puts them in situations in practice where it's the worst possible situation. So when he's working drills, they may have these stand-up dummies, and they're curling around all these stand-up dummies and coming through traffic. And as they're coming through traffic, before they can even turn their head around the ball, you know, and so putting them in situations where it would be not maybe more distracting than an actual game. And so we do that, and then we kind of livened up Skelly, you know, instead of 7-on-7 being, you know, if they catch the ball, tag off, kind of made it live, you know, and said, all right, we're gonna throw it, and if the DB's there, he's going to tag you, and you're going to have to live with it. You know, I know it's practice, but, you know, that gets him to force to pull it in, and, you know, because the standard line is always you might as well catch it because you're going to get hit anyway. So just catch the ball. So went back to doing some of those things, livened up practice a little bit more than maybe what we've been doing.
You know, we were talking off air before we came on, the history kind of this program, and even though you guys are normal, even though you know, the margin was what it was, and, you know, we talked in the first half how maybe that was not indicative of how close the game was on film. But when you break it down, this is still anybody's 6A.
Oh, yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Do I think Carmel can win it? Absolutely. Do I think Warren can win it? Absolutely. Do I think there's five or six other teams? Absolutely. Do I think we still have a chance? Absolutely. Now, with that being said, we got to play better. We know we got to play better on defense. We got to make some plays on special teams. You know, we actually blocked the one punt Friday night. It just ricocheted and went out of bounds. If we get two more inches on our hand, that's a scoop and score. And, you know, so, you know, here's Carmel kicking our butt and we're blocking punts, you know. And so we got to make more plays like that. We opened up the season blocking a punt against Cathedral for a touchdown. And that's kind of some of the things that you got to take care of and you got to do. But do I think we can win it? Absolutely. Do I think our sectional is unbelievably tough? Absolutely. You talk about, I don't care what Pike's record is, Pike will play us to the hilt. If we draw Pike, I'm just telling you, it's going to be an absolute knockdown, drag-out fight, because that's the kind of program they are. You got Brownsburg, and you got Avon. And so if you even survive that little sectional, I say little, it's four teams. If you even survive that, then you're probably getting a shot at Warren again. And then if you survive that, you're probably getting a shot at Southport or Center Grove. And if you survive that, you get to probably get a shot at Carmel. And so, you know, another way of looking at it is, all right, we didn't win the first Mick. You can turn around and win the second Mick. You know, because it's probably going to happen if you're lucky enough, you're going to play it all over again. You can win the second Mick conference. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's still a possibility, but we got to get better.
Realizing that your team will not win the Mick this year, I would like to hear your thoughts in terms of setting up the matchup between Carmel and Warren Central.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and pick one over the other. I do think it's good. I think you're dealing with a very disciplined team at Carmel. They don't make many mistakes. They know what they're running. They know what they're doing. I don't know who's got injuries. You know, who's in, who's out. I know Warren struggled last week with LN, which kind of, you know, it's 7-0 at half. It's 14-7 at the end of the third. That score kind of caught me off guard. So I don't know if Warren's got kids out. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it plays to Warren's advantage being at Warren. You know, Warren's played some of their bigger games at home.
Always get the big games at home.
We've seemed to play our big games. I talked to a college coach from IU last week, and he goes, man, you've had to go to Avon, to Pike, too Carmel, too Warren. He goes, who does your scheduling? I said, well, it's next year it all reverses, so it's just the nature of the game. I said, but that's four tough road games for us, and that's just the hand we're dealt, and you got to live with it.
Well, does having all these such hard road games, does that help you prepare for the sectionals?
Well, you hope so, but the way we played in the last three, you wouldn't think so, you know. So you hope it does. You know, you hope you've been through enough wars, and when you get to the tournament, nothing they do surprises you.
Well, we've already reached that time. Actually, we've passed that time.
We're in overtime.
We're in overtime.
We're lining up at the 10-yard line. You get four shots.
Well, do you have any last words, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I was on the radio here, and I kind of blasted Purple Rain, and tonight I'm going to apologize. Not for blasting you from 2 weeks ago, but for the way we played on Friday night. That's my responsibility. I'm the head coach. I thought Purple Rain came out there and stood in the rain and were supportive, and I'm very appreciative, and I hope you continue to support us. That's on us and me, and we got to do a better job as coaches.
Well, nonetheless, it's going to be an interesting game. Friday, again, is senior night. It will be the Giants taking on the Lawrence Central Bears. Next Tuesday, we bring you the results of that game and get you more with head coach Mike Kirshner.
And a sectional draw.
Sectional drawing is this Sunday. And then, of course, next week is the final week of the regular season. It's sectionals, baby. Sectionals are closing
it's
in.
Time.
Giants at North Central next week.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank Jeff Robinson for joining us, John Easter, and Mike Kirshner.
Thank
and
you.
Then also want to thank Corey back in the studio for helping us out. And that's going to conclude it here for Inside Ben Davis Football here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.